So what do girls know about this stuff anyways? You might ask yourself that from time to time. A lot of guys do, and a lot of guys don't even trust the response of a woman after they get the faded and ill-begotten, "Women just want a confident guy." Tell me how many times you've heard that one. Or how about this one? "Women just want a nice guy." Oh yeah, that one hits right to the bone, doesn't it? And then there's the more esoteric, "We just want to feel like a woman when we're around you." Or, "We just want you to be the man." Now, what does this information have to do in any way with helpful advice? Usually nothing. That's why I'm here to give you a little bit of that background info, a little bit of the subtext, the understanding that you often don't get, even from other women. And unfortunately, that's all too often the case, is that women can't give us the information we want. Don't you wish they could, though? Don't you wish they could just tell us exactly what it is they're looking for and not frustrate the hell out of us at every turn we try and ask them? Well, let me tell you, there are some women out there who do know what's going on. And you may know some in your own life. I hope you do, because they're the most valuable resources you have. And chances are you're not even tapping into that undiscovered well of opportunity and information, a woman who is self-aware and has that self-knowledge. Unfortunately, all too often, most women don't have the ability to communicate what it is they're looking for any more than guys are able to do this. And it's all because of our communication styles, right? Women know what they want by gut feel. They know when they're in the presence of a man that genuinely turns them on, that makes her motor roll, that opens up a 64-ounce can of, that's right, they know when a guy is in her presence that can do that for her. And she's often at a loss to really explain that or put that into words. Who has the vocabulary for that? Well, there are some people that do. And when you do, like I said, tap into that source, because that is your rich vein of gold when it comes to steering guidance and re-correcting your path in the whole dating world. Now, unfortunately, most guys can't do this. Most people can't do this. We cannot seem to find it within ourselves to adjust our realities, even when we know what we're doing is wrong, primarily because we're so trapped in our own comfort and our own belief systems. Beliefs are what pretty much populate the outer border of your identity. That's right. That's what you're using as a shield to block off all those challenging concepts of who you are and what you think you are. And when those beliefs are gone, we often feel like our very foundation is being shaken up, when in fact we should feel liberated from the very thing that's keeping us from understanding what we want to know. Everybody's got their own little reality running around out there, and men and women are no different. The interesting thing is that men have a certain collective identity that we all seem to share, or most of us do, and women do too. Now it's time to broach that gap, jump over the great divide, and find out what the other side is really thinking about. I've had women on the show before that have had some very keen insights as to what's going on there. And now for today's show, I want to bring in somebody that's going to tell you what they do to directly help guys understand this gender difference. My guest today is Marnie Kinross, and she's the owner and creator of the Wing Girl Method. Her Wing Girls and her are the women whose main goal is to provide men with a blunt and honest female perspective on the opposite sex. As women, they feel like they know exactly what it is women want, what they desire, and what their words really mean and what's going on behind them. The Wing Girls have helped hundreds of men over 4 years learn to attract the women they want by becoming the man they've always wanted to be. And it's my great pleasure to have Marnie with us here on the show today. Hey, Marnie, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I am on the recoup from flu, but I'm feeling great. It's just I don't sound it, so I'm gonna fake it with my sultry, raspy, sexy voice here.
Yeah. Make sure that you drink lots of fluids to flush it out.
Yeah, I have this whole ritual that I do for it. But why don't you tell the guys that are probably listening to this call and wondering, because I do talk to a lot of women on this topic of alpha lifestyle, and every woman has their own particular angle and why they're helping guys out and what particular motivation they have for doing it. What's your background and what led you to this place of helping guys out in this way?
Well, I've been doing this for about 4 years now, but prior to that, I've always had male friends and I've always picked up women for them. I've
okay.
always been that girl that provides my guy friends with a female perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And have helped them get into relationships, get numbers, get dates. I still do it now. I constantly guide all of my male friends to finding other women, if not picking them up for them when we're out socially.
Okay, I can hear thousands of guys out there going, "Where are you for me? Help
yeah, exactly.
me. Where were you when I was in pain, man?"
The truth is that if you happen to have a female friend,
mm-hmm.
they would be more than happy to be a wing girl for you if you just ask, because women in general love assisting. They love helping. They love feeling needed. They love feeling that they have
being the matchmaker.
Yeah, as a matchmaker, as anything else, going to a woman for advice and having a man come to a woman for advice,
yeah,
it feels very different than having a woman come to a woman for advice. It gives a woman a sense of power and makes her feel needed and wanted and part of the community. So
yeah.
Any time that a woman can help a man, it feels wonderful. So if you if any of your listeners happen to have female friends currently, I would say ask them. Ask them for as much female advice as possible, because they will let you in on so many hidden secrets and so many, they can give you so many gifts, basically, to what can help you with women.
I gotta throw this out there, because I would second that, definitely. I would just say that guys do also have to be a little educated about who they ask, because there's kind of a, and tell me what you think about this, there's a rather pervasive perception, I think, in both the community, the pickup artist community, and then elsewhere, that women really haven't got a good track record for telling guys what they really want. And I think there's some guys that are very skeptical of that, that some women will give the usual, oh, you know, just be funny, be confident, which does not help guys. It really doesn't. It's not specific enough, and it doesn't really give guys the tools. Sometimes it also can hurt them, depending on how the guy reinterprets that message. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? I actually completely agree with you. I just think that the men have to come with more targeted questions instead of, what do women like, or what do you like? Because then the simple answer is, oh, we like men with a great personality, which is true. That's 100% true, that women fall in love with personalities over physical looks.
Right.
But you have to it's true. You have to find a woman who understands it on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Someone who, you know, is very basic and doesn't really put thought into what they're saying may not be a good source for you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be more targeted with your questions and be more precise with what you're asking from a woman.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think the guys do need to be more thoughtful and intelligent, not be so wide open with what they're asking, because I think that it always puts the other person on kind of a sticky ground of, okay, well, if you're going to give me the most kind of cliched question, I'm going to be forced to give you the most cliched answer, because there's no real thought process at work there.
So you want to probe a person. You really want to get to the nitty-gritty of it. Because if you do try and, I would say most females are able to answer these questions when you ask them to really think about a topic, especially when it comes to their emotions and what they're thinking and feeling.
Right.
And you ask them, what is it that turned you on about this person?
Right.
How do you find this person attractive? If you want to put it into specific examples, that's a better way of getting the information you're looking for, as opposed to, you know, what attracts you, or, you know, what do you like? What do I have to do to be attracted to other women?
One of the best techniques that I'd heard of that a guy had used and recommended was that first of all, you don't ask directly. You have to ask a little bit indirectly, and just ask a woman, you know, what was it about the last boyfriend you had that you stayed with and you just, you know, you couldn't quit, that you found so attractive? You know, indirect questions like that will get you more information rather than just trying to be a roundabout. Well, Marnie, what is it that you have a group called the Wing Girl Method, right?
Yes, and so we were the first company to ever use the term Wing Girls. We coined the term Wing Girls about 4 years ago. And it actually started, my partner and I were at a singles mixer, and we were the only two who were not single at the time.
Okay.
And there was men on one side of the room and females on the other side of the room, and nobody was talking to each other. They were all talking in their little pockets.
Yeah.
And both of us were like, this is ridiculous. So we started going and talking to girls and pulling them over to guys and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the night, tons of people got phone numbers. Everybody was intermixing with each other. When we came home, we were a little bit buzzed, but we came home, and we were like, that's the best thing ever. Why can't we do that for a business? It felt so good.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know what, we probably can put an ad up on Craigslist, and we got 75 responses by the next morning, so we just kept going from there. And slowly over time, it's molded into something way more than just being those girls who stand by men to validate them.
Mm-hmm.
We offer tons of services, basically just providing men with a blunt and honest female perspective, because I think a lot of men need that. They don't have a female friend to ask.
Right.
And a lot of women, as you said before, are going to sugarcoat their answers.
Mm-hmm.
So we make sure that, of course, we're going to take our clients' feelings into consideration, but I know that it's more beneficial for them to get a clear answer and an honest answer. So every single one of my wing girls knows that they need to be as blunt and honest with all of our clients, so that they get the information that they need about the opposite sex.
Yeah, the directness, I think, is something that guys are going to greatly appreciate because of, and we've heard this complaint so many times before, that, you know, when a woman is not really interested in a guy, or he fails to really kind of give the right spark or charge to an interaction to really get it off the ground, and they kind of drift off into the, well, let's just say the friend zone, and we'll come back to that again. Okay. But when they do that and the woman doesn't really, isn't clear about it, or just kind of, you know, is very vague, the guys get pissed about it, frankly. Yeah, because they want somebody just to say, look, you know, it didn't really work out for me, but, you know, that way the guy isn't feeling like he's led on.
Exactly. Because the thing is that women don't speak directly.
Yeah.
Women speak indirectly, and men speak directly. That's why we have so many problems speaking to each other.
Yep.
Women are polite, they're proud, they don't want, they actually think that what they're doing by being indirect is much better than being direct, when, in fact, they're stretching out a situation or they're hurting the other person. But it's also because women can read other women, so they know exactly what another woman is saying without her actually saying it, whereas men take women for their words.
Yeah, exactly. They take it at face value.
Exactly.
And they don't realize just how much interpretation is required to find out what that real world word is.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you this, and as far as the service of helping guys out, do you just have a guy come in and then you get a kind of a panel, or does a guy just interview with a woman, or how does the feedback process work for this?
Well, it depends. So we do international coaching for people. So for a lot of these people, it's done through email and over the phone. And I'm actually surprised sometimes, and you'd be very surprised as to how much myself and my wing girls can read in to our clients simply through emails and telephone calls.
Actually, I would not be surprised at all. I get hundreds of emails a day, and when I read them, I can pretty much pick out the core problem very quickly in just a few words. And it's amazing. People say that email doesn't carry tone, but it carries a lot of subtext in it that you can read.
Well, I'm happy that you do that as well, because it's true. You can hear what the other person's saying to you, what they're really saying to you underneath all of those words. So that's definitely really good for you, because that means that you can help out your people, people that write into you so much more. So what they do, let's say somebody were to want a physical outing with the Wing Girls in Los Angeles. So we do physical outings in Toronto, in Canada,
okay,
and Los Angeles.
All right.
And they would contact us through email or contact us over the phone. We have a conversation. We go through why they contacted us. That's the first thing, where they think that their problems or their issues or whatever it is that they want to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a quick conversation, discuss that, and then we analyze which would be the best program for them. So we have analysis of pickup style, which is a one-on-one service. The clients would come out with me or one of my other wing girls for about 1 to 2 hours, and we just do a complete analysis of the person, of the way that they're carrying themselves, of their body language, of the way that they're talking and communicating to other people. See, we go out somewhere social.
Yeah.
We've done during the day. Another thing that we do is we have our trademark wing girl outing, which is 2-on-1. So it's 2 wing girls and
this already sounds like heaven for a guy. Keep going.
Yeah. 2 girls and 1 guy.
Yeah.
And we go out, again, somewhere social, wherever our client feels the most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We also try and push our clients a little bit to put them in an uncomfortable space to challenge them.
Yeah, definitely.
Challenge, she builds confidence. And in the evening, we pick up women for them. We bring women over to them. We have one girl scanning the room, trying to see who's available. And we are there as the man's crutches for the evening. Number one, to validate him to other women.
Right.
And number two, to give him immediate feedback as to what he may be doing incorrectly with women. And then once the outing is done, we have exercises for our clients. We have a whole rundown of the entire night that we give to them so that they have something tangible. Yeah, a whole review. So that it's not just, okay, you have an outing, we leave you after that. It's something that they can use for the rest of their life. And then if they just do phone coaching with us, it's mainly just having conversations and talking through scenarios and saying, okay, I have this going on in my life with this girl. What do I do? What do you think? It's really just being that female friend for men.
Oh, okay. Guys, you're listening to The Alpha Lifestyle. This is Carlos Zuma, and we're talking with Marnie from the Wing Girl Method about how you guys can get yourself some top-notch coaching and real feedback from women on how to improve your game. And stay with us. So coming up in the hour, we're going to be talking about some of the mistakes guys are making as part of their dating program, unfortunately. Marnie, I've got a question for you. Well, actually, it's more of a situation. Let's do something hypothetical here.
Okay.
I've got a friend. Let's call him Bob.
Okay.
Okay, Bob. He tends to fall into a pattern of dating women, but the problem is that the women didn't know that they were actually dating him.
Oh, no.
If you know what I mean. Okay, there's a kind of guy that will kind of put himself out there in the dating scene and kind of, I hate to use the term, but kind of weasel his way into one-on-one interactions with women that very closely resemble dates, but the woman never really gets enough of an idea that it is a date. And as a result, I think that Bob, well, I know it, because he's told me, falls into this constant pattern of having women say, well, you know what, I think we should just be friends. Which is that killer line that guys hate, the LJBF. What do you see, I mean, as far as that pattern evolving with guys, what's your experience with that? You know, what do guys do to put themselves into that particular situation? What's going on?
Well, the thing is that I get people calling into me or writing into me all the time explaining that exact scenario, if not with like a few minor tweaks. But for men, my advice is to first recognize beforehand that you're getting into that situation. I would say in the first couple of times that you hang out with a woman, if you there's nothing sexual there and you don't sense anything sexual there, then you have to make a decision. Are you okay with pursuing a friendship with a woman who may never show any sexual interest in you?
Right.
If you are okay with continuing that friendship and giving the energy that you're giving, knowing that she will never want to be with you, then continue the friendship. Continue the friendship. But if you realize that you are not okay with this friendship and that you are waiting for her to turn around and say, no, you're the one that I want. You're the one that I love. You're the one that I want to be with. I don't need any of these other guys. Then you have to find out immediately if that's the situation that you're in. So a lot of men, I feel, put off that awkward conversation because everybody in the world does not like to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, we don't want to confront. We don't be in a confrontational situation.
Oh, exactly.
Like that.
And they hold on to that little glimpse of hope. But at the same time, they're ruining it for themselves because it's stopping them from looking for other possible options that are available to them.
Yeah.
I find that a lot of men and women fall into this comfortable scenario of a man wanting a woman knowing 100% that this guy wants to be with her, but will never be with him and will confide in him and use him as a shoulder to cry on. Because it makes both of them feel fantastic. This man has an attractive woman who he thinks sometimes flirts with him. He reads into certain situations where, you know, it can make him feel great because he thinks he's on that path to being in a relationship with her.
Yeah, he gets a lot of emotional interaction.
Exactly. And then on the flip side, the girl gets someone who gives a man who gives her constant attention, thinks she's beautiful, thinks she's great, will do anything for her. It's a selfish scenario on both sides, and it's really based in discomfort, because if you were to have that conversation saying, okay, what is this that we're actually doing? Do I have a chance with you? Then it would end, and it would be over for both parties.
Yeah.
So my advice to these men is that, again, ask yourself first, do you want a friendship with this woman? If yes, continue the way that you have been having this relationship with this woman. If you do not, if you're not okay with just being friends with this woman for the rest of your life, then you need to be direct. You have to ask, you make a move, and then you get into that awkward conversation that sucks, but then you know. Why would you go through your life not knowing the answer to a main question in your life? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I can throw one reason out there, and I think it's one that a lot of guys know is kind of bubbling below the surface. It's they don't want to confront because they don't want to confront the rejection.
Of course.
Right.
Of course. But then you're going to have to confront that rejection at some point, most likely when she ends up being in another relationship and is not interested in you as much anymore because she doesn't need that male friend. She has somebody great who's giving her that male attention that she was craving.
Yeah.
He was a fake boyfriend.
Yeah, this is like one of those I guess, the classic situation. It was funny. I was watching a movie the other day. I've been getting a whole bunch of my movies now on Blu-ray just to see them in high def. And I got, of all movies, Starship Troopers, which is kind of...
I like that movie.
It is. It's just like a guilty pleasure, you know? It's just gratuitously gory and all that. But there's such a classic superficial little storyline there, the little sub romance with Johnny Rico and his girlfriend, who isn't really into him, but she's with him. And then she meets the other hunky guy who everybody hates immediately because he has that smarmy look about him. And what happens? Sure enough, she dumps Johnny for the other guy because Johnny was just that kind of, you know, the tag along, the one that was there. He was the better than nothing, the BTN. It's that situation I think a lot of guys get into because they don't want to confront that. You also brought something up interesting there about the whole friend situation. The friend, it's not such a bad thing. I think guys need to recognize that it's okay to end up in the friend situation, but that's not how you want to start it out with every woman you meet. And I think that this is one of those areas of misinterpretation that guys have fallen into, because women often say, let's just be friends first. But that's really not how a guy can go into the sexual energy with a woman. Do you agree?
Oh, I 100% agree with you.
Why do women say that then? Let's just be friends first.
How do women say that?
Why do women say that? Why do they say, I want to be friends first?
Because it's another layer that they can put up to separate themselves. I think for a lot of women, they want to own and they want to decide on the course of the relationship that they're going to have with a man. They want to put up those boundaries so that they can have some control over what is happening. The problem with that is that there's sometimes women just say, I want to be friends first as an out for them.
Yeah.
And the other problem is that sometimes they're really saying it because they want to be friends first. They want to have a situation where they start a friendship that grows into a relationship. The thing is that there are two different types of friendship. One friendship, which is the one that leads into a relationship, is something where you get to know each other first.
Right.
Not where you actually become friends. And the other situation is where you actually become friends. As soon as a woman starts asking you advice on other men, they complain to you about their girlfriends, or they ask you to go shopping, you are in the friend zone. You're possibly going to be in that zone for the rest of your life with this woman, unless you're able to show her that there's something very attractive about you as a man. And that does not mean being able to listen to her cry for 3 hours. It does not mean being available to go pick her up an hour and a half away when she's really drunk at a friend's house. That's a friend who does those things. That's not an attractive man who's confident, controlled, and sexy.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's just, it's a fine line, and a lot of men get trapped in being this emotional man for other women, who then women are like, oh my God, I have this man who wants to listen to me. I don't want to leave
such a novelty.
I'm going to keep him as a friend.
Yeah.
Exactly. It is a novelty, 100%. And I am, you know, I've always had male friends, and I always have loved that male attention, the friendship male attention. But I'm sure, and I know, that most of my male friends have had stronger feelings for me, but I choose to ignore those feelings because I'm selfish, or I have been selfish, and I want to keep that male friendship. I want to keep that male attention in my life.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's good. It feels good. It's the same thing for guys, too. I mean, guys go through the same classic experience. I've had women that were obviously interested in me and would just kind of hover in that friend zone. I think there's a technical term. They call it the orbiter, where the person just kind of hangs out and hopes to be in your life in some way and, you know, put themselves in a position to be there. Hopefully they pick up the pieces when the other woman has trashed you. But
exactly.
There was something you said there about the things that guys are doing to kind of promote that. One of the things that I've noticed, and tell me what your thoughts are on this, because I really like to explore a little bit the what it is guys are specifically doing that is not quite getting them from friends. I believe it's an escalation of energy, frankly, that it's ideal if a guy can actually be on a level where he makes a woman feel like you were just saying, where she's like, wow, I got to keep this guy around in my life because he's such a novelty. But he manages to really incite and inspire that sexual tension that's necessary to kind of kickstart it into the romantic zone.
And that's where it's difficult for a lot of men. So my opinion on that is that when a man and a woman start a relationship or a friendship or an introduction to one another, a lot of men end up either being the listener the entire time. They stick around for hours to listen to conversations.
Right.
They're not creating any type of attraction whatsoever because they're putting it out there that I am all for you, I am here for you, I'm giving you all of my attention because I have nothing else going on in my life, and therefore I can give you everything right now. which is a wonderful feeling for a woman, but not an attractive feeling for a woman.
Right.
Or if you stretch that out for more than one night.
Right. Well, she needs to feel that the man has his own independent direction, sense of goal, sense of confidence in everything going on in his life. And I've also told guys this, that one of the best ways you do that is just to simply show that you have some standards that you adhere to. In other words, of how you're going to be treated, of what you're going to expect. Like when a woman's, you know, starting to – I think a woman knows, and we all know inherently – and instinctively, when we're kind of abusing the levels of our friendship and the boundaries of it. But, you know, we can't help but push into that territory if we feel the other person will listen or will be there for us. And a guy's got to just, you know, really just have the balls to say, look, you know, this is going into territory where you ought to be checking in with your girlfriends on it, because I ain't the one to do it. And that right there, he's afraid to do, because he's going to be putting himself in a place where she's going to have to make a decision about him. And at the same time, it's the right thing to be pushing, because that's the button that she needs to have pushed that makes her say, oh, wow, this guy does have a boundary. He's not going to let me just punk him around.
Exactly, because you're throwing the ball back to her to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So not that I'm promoting making women uncomfortable.
Right.
You want to be able to have women question things when you're talking to them. If you are that man who's just being very clear by saying, I'm here for you, and you're putting out that vibe, it doesn't make a woman even possibly think of that she could be rejected by you in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that she's just like spitting out her information. She doesn't care what she says, because no matter what, she senses that you like her, and she is never going to say anything wrong that could possibly lose you, could lose that attention, and could lose that desire to want her.
Mm.
I completely agree with you, and I like the way that you worded that. That you have to let a woman know your boundaries, even by saying that, you know, if somebody did this to me, this would not be acceptable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, man, and you've already defined things for yourself, saying what you're able to tolerate, as opposed to putting it out there that you're able to tolerate anything with this woman that you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you do would be fantastic. So I think you're 100% right.
It's kind of the essence of that saying, we teach people how to treat us, right?
Yeah.
If you start to go down that path, it's a slippery slope where you start to be the open ear, the one that's, you know, the quiet, non-judgmental guy that's always there and saying, oh, you're right, you don't deserve to be treated like that. You need a man in your life that, like me, and always hoping that that woman's going to suddenly wake up and go, oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, and you're the one I want to be with.
Yeah, I just realized, holy crap, why didn't you say this before?
Yeah.
Just told
you. And that's being a man in my eyes. That is something, that's what women are attracted to. I say that women, 100% of heterosexual women are attracted to a man.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I provide my definition of what a man is, but being the constant listener who agrees with everything that a woman says is not being...
That's not masculine energy.
Yeah, exactly, because that's being a sap. And the truth is that you can't always agree with everything a person says, because everybody's different. So everybody has different opinions. So if you can't be that person that offers her that advice or some other piece of information that sparks ideas of control and confidence and security, then you're not going to become that man that she wants to be with. Like, we have a video right now. It's actually our first video that we have on our site.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a survey with 100 women. We found out the top three characteristics women find the most attractive. And the second one is being proactive.
Mm.
So it's about being proactive in your life and having other things going on, which makes you more interesting.
A proactive as opposed to reactive.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So being proactive in your life, which means that before you've actually found this woman, being proactive in either finding a woman or making your life more interesting by joining groups, by having other things going on,
mm-hmm.
so that when you do meet this woman, you aren't this man who's been waiting for this woman to come along. You have tons of other things that can add value to your relationship, and that can add value to you as a man.
Yeah.
I think it's very important for a man exactly to set up his boundaries, be proactive, and not put it out there that he is always available to this woman, so that he can agree with everything that she says, so that he can always make her feel better. A man needs to show, to actually be a man, that he does have something else going on in his life, and that may be other women, other activities, or something that can get him to get off of the phone with this woman in under 15 minutes.
Yeah.
If you turn into that friend that stays on the phone for an hour and a half, then you're a female confidant.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's just, you just take yourself out of the possible relationship zone
as
soon as you get too deep into conversation with a woman.
Guys, you're listening to The Alpha Lifestyle. This is Carlos Zuma, and we're talking about the Wing Girl Method with Marnie and why guys fall into that trap of being just friends with women. Stay tuned. Coming up in the hour, we'll talk a little bit more about how guys can improve their game through a little insight from Wing Girls and Wing Women. Why didn't you call it the Wing Women Method?
You know what? I don't even know. I've always said the term Wing Girl. I've always said that to my friends. I'm your Wing Girl. So I was a girl.
You know what's funny?
Doing this.
I've heard some. And the reason I ask is because I think I have an inkling why, and it's because we naturally gravitate towards certain terms that are the kind of the colloquial terms for men and women. Guys tend to be called guys, and women are comfortable with that, and guys are comfortable with that. And it's funny, but girl seems to be more comfortable for women than women does in a lot of cases.
No, that's true. I don't consider myself a woman yet.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. It's more fun to be a wing girl.
Yeah.
It sounds more playful and it sounds enjoyable. A wing woman just sounds so cute.
What are some of the other mistakes guys are making out there as far as the that can lead them down this path of let's just be friendsdom?
Well, the other mistakes that men are making, I really just find that a lot of men are making the same. You're still talking about being in the friend zone, correct?
Right.
Okay. I would say that the mistake that they're making is the same as what we've been talking about for the past 20 minutes. I really just think that men aren't spelling it out for themselves before they step into a situation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not saying what it is that they will be able to handle, what they want. I think that a lot of men aren't clear on what they want. I think that they just want attention from a woman. So therefore, they're happy with anything that any attractive woman will give them, so they're not really taking control of their lives.
Right.
Putting it into somebody else's hands.
Right. Yeah, they're not being directive and that being the leader, really.
Yeah.
I mean, let's take it back to Bob, who has that pattern that we talked about, which I think it's also a subset and it's kind of a sub-flavor of the let's just be friends situation where he's not really making his intentions clear up front when he's even going and asking women out to do events, where the woman is being left in a bit of an ambiguous haze as to, why is this guy doing, why is he asking? But she doesn't want to ask that up front. She'll just go along with it, figuring, well, okay, you know, worst case is we have a couple drinks and just have some fun. But
exactly.
He doesn't realize that he's condemning himself there because he's left an ambiguity that shouldn't be there. If anything, it can be there maybe on the invite, but once you actually get there with a woman, you've got to maintain and establish some kind of, like I was saying before, the sexual tension in charge that lets her know, if it's just even an instinctual level, this is kind of going that route. It's not going towards
a date.
Yeah.
On a date.
Exactly. She's got to feel that. You don't have to explain it overtly because that would also kill the tension in a lot of ways. You want to say, hey, you know, I find you an attractive woman, possibly suitable for mating. Why don't we meet tomorrow night at 4:30 p.m.? And, you know, that clinical approach is going to kill you too. But you got to go into it with a certain amount of forthrightness that says, hey, I'm confident enough to put my sexual energy out there. If you aren't interested, it won't kill me, but I'm going to still put it out there.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. You just have to be exactly with every other thing in your life. And a lot of my clients are extremely successful in their careers because they set out a goal for themselves. They knew exactly what they wanted. They went after it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are successful businessmen, successful doctors, whatever it is. They took the steps to become successful in their careers.
Right.
And people don't realize that you have to do the same thing in your social life, especially once you are past that age where you're in high school, you're surrounded by options at all times. When you are older and you're out of school,
mm-hmm.
you actually have to be active in activating your social life. It takes a lot more work, and people don't realize how much effort they need to put into their social life.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And then on top of that, again, you have to be very focused on what your goal is with a woman. If you look at a woman and you say, she's really attractive, I want to be with her, that's not putting out a clear enough message to her or to yourself as to what you want.
Mm.
If you're saying, I want to attract this woman, I want her to see me as a viable option,
right.
and I want to be with her, maybe forever or maybe for tonight. If that's the energy that you're putting out there and you know the steps that you need or you know the tools that you need in order to portray that information,
mm-hmm.
then there shouldn't be any confusion for the woman. She shouldn't be thinking, is this a date? Is this not a date? I don't really know what's going on here, but right. He's listening to everything that I say. We've been talking for 3 hours. I don't feel anything sexual.
Yeah.
So, again, you have to be clear. You want to cut the conversation so that it's a little bit shorter and you're not dragging topics on for a long period of time where the woman's talking about her. You want to keep it in a date atmosphere where it's fun, it's sexual, it's interesting for both parties. And then you separate, and then it's still in the date zone once you leave the actual date.
The date zone instead of the friend zone. Well, let's take it back to Bob. How would you take, let's say we've taken Bob and he's going into the Wing Girl Method. What are you going to do with him to, we've kind of got a good feel for what he's not doing correctly. What would you do to get him into an interaction with a woman where he's presenting that energy correctly?
Well, we would go on a fake date with each other, and I would see exactly the vibe that he's putting out. To other women, we would work on our conversation. I would help him learn how to not put out that friendship vibe right away.
Okay.
It's very different for each man that you're talking to because there's different things that each of them do. So,
are there any that you can think of off the top of your head that you've seen?
Well, the thing is that a lot of men just look at you with these googly eyes who, and sending out the message that, I will listen to whatever you say. And yes, I'm a coach, so they should be thinking that thing, that information. But when we get into that zone and we start practicing how to stir attraction in women, each of my clients starts out at the same level. It's not working. They're not stirring attraction at all. And by the end of the evening with working with me, they are able to stir the attraction because I teach them how to. Sometimes we'll say the same line over and over again, and I'll show them the difference of what's attractive when you say that line and unattractive when you say that line. And also what I teach them to do is go home at the end of the night and, you know, practice dialogue for themselves, record it on an audio recorder, and then listen back to it and see if they find it attractive conversation. Because you can hear right away what's confident and what's attractive.
Yeah.
If it's coming from a male's mouth or it's coming from a female's mouth, it's the same thing. But
no, that's a good point that a lot of people don't realize until they've actually had a chance to monitor themselves a little bit, just what they're actually saying is not working for them.
But mainly what I teach to these guys is that you can't just have one approach every month, because then you put too much into it and it's obvious. It's needy and it's obvious. So I try and get my clients to put themselves out there as often as possible, by joining groups, by joining online dating, by joining singles groups, whatever it is, so they have as much interaction with women and with people, and that they become more social and confident. It's, for a lot of them, it's really just boosting that confidence level. They're in a rut, and they can't figure out what's wrong.
Yeah.
As soon as you give them other things that can become a part of their lives, they do naturally become more confident, and then at that stage, we have something more to work with. Because, again, what we were saying before, that at that point, they have other things going on in their lives, and their central focus is not on this one woman that they've been in a friendship with for the past 8 months.
It's funny that you notice that, too, that guys and girls, I've noticed this fairly consistently when I give advice on both sides of the fence, that we tend to lay an awful lot of expectation and focus on just one method of meeting people. And one of the things that I coach guys and girls to do is to open what I call multiple streams of female or male income, depending on which side of the fence you're on, where you're looking at all these different avenues. If you have less riding on each one, it's kind of like betting on multiple hands at the poker table. You don't feel so invested in one of them that you're going to be, you know, anxious and, everything kind of seems to revolve around success or failure in that one thing. You can relax a little bit. Your anxiety level lowers when you've got kind of a distributed focus of attention.
Exactly. Because for me, I have become very comfortable with rejection because I put myself out there constantly, which builds up my confidence. And that is what I want to pass on to other people, is that if you don't believe that you can get things and go after those things, then you're never going to have anything. You're going to stay stagnant, and you're going to stay in the place that you are out of fear of possible rejection or even fear of possible success.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Exactly. And so for me, and what I teach my clients, is that you want to put yourself in a position where you're constantly taking chances and getting comfortable with being rejected, so that it's something that doesn't faze you anymore, so that you don't put all your eggs in one basket and say, okay, fine, I've got this one approach to do, and that's it. I want them to be able to have 10 approaches a day.
Yeah.
So that you can go up to people, and then 3 people out of 10 may reject you. And it'll just build up your confidence over time, because you'll realize that rejection isn't that bad.
Mm.
And if somebody does reject you, it's not on you. It's on the other person.
Yeah.
You may not be that right person for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've often told guys, look, if a woman rejects you, you got to remember that she doesn't know enough about you to reject you. She doesn't have enough background. She doesn't have enough interest. We all know if she really knew who you were on the inside, the soft, fuzzy little teddy bear, she would just love you to death. But what she's doing is she's making some cursory judgments that you can't control. So therefore, you just got to be willing to roll with it, float with it, and just realize you've got standards too and move on.
And if you put it out there that you're okay with being rejected, then that's pretty attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's because it shows a certain resiliency. And especially, I think it's especially attractive for women because she wants to feel safe with the man she's with. She has to feel like she can. That's, I think, one of the interesting insights I was coming to over this weekend was that in a lot of ways, I think that a lot of guys are turned off by certain, I guess you call them the American woman in a lot of ways, because she's taken on some masculine traits in the same way that I think a lot of guys have kind of been a little bit feminized over the last few years. But the reality is that once a man provides the right masculine safety bubble, I guess you call it, around a woman where she feels like she can be safe, she then slips totally into feminine mode. You know, she can be a woman. She can be a girl. She can let her hair down, so to speak. She can stop trying to wrestle for control or any of that stuff. It becomes less about being sexist and more about kind of falling into the real natural gender roles that we have for each other.
Exactly. And I 100% agree with you. And that's actually what I say to a lot of my girlfriends as well. A lot of my girlfriends and a lot of my wing girls are strong, independent women. And the problem is that they end up being with these men who are extremely feminine. They attract feminine men who do not know how to treat them as a woman so that they feel safe and secure. That's really what it is that they're all looking for. They want to feel like a dainty little woman. They don't want to be a dainty little woman.
Yeah, exactly.
They want to feel that they're safe, taken care of. And I don't mean that a man has to, you know, be able to take care of them financially. It has nothing to do with financial. It's just to let them know that they don't have, the women know that they don't have to be as tough and as guarded anymore because they have a man who can take control of situations, whether it's calling the cable company, dealing with the plumber, or, you know, something else that is extremely masculine that they don't want to take care of anymore. They just want to know that a man can handle his stuff. He can handle situations, and that if something were to go wrong with him losing his job or her losing her job, that he wouldn't fall apart. He would be able to take control and keep her safe by providing a solution, being a man, by stepping up. It's just, that's the type of safety that you're talking about.
Exactly.
The safety of the
comfort
being a man. Whereas, you know, if you sense that a man will crumble if something happens to him, and you as a woman will have to be that strong character in the relationship, that's not appealing. You can do that on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You want somebody else, again, to let you be the woman for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Marnie, this has been a great interview. I really appreciate you coming on the show. The guys know that they can get more information about the Wing Girl Method through my CarlosLikes.com link with you guys. What is it the guys can get, though? You mentioned you had a video for them?
Yeah, so it's our first e-video. It's called How to Become the Man Women Want. Again, it provides them with the 3 top characteristics women find the most attractive.
Okay.
And then it gives them exercises on actually how to gain these characteristics. I consider it my prep course.
Okay.
For, you know, men before they go on an outing with me or before they have other services with us. Because I find that until males can actually be that man, a lot of our other services are wasted on them because they have one night with us and it's fantastic and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And they definitely get to experience a wing girl outing and experience feeling great about themselves and picking up women. But if they don't have this prep course, they can't hold on to the information that we're teaching to them because they don't have
the right foundation.
Exactly.
I've seen a lot of the same things happen with boot camp situations with guys, too. They go into boot camps, a variety of them, and I'm not talking any of them down by any stretch. I've taken guys out, too. But the consistent thing is if a guy doesn't have that, the inner game, the right mindset going in, the boot camp is going to lead him very temporarily successful, and it's just going to fade very quickly after that.
Exactly. exactly. This is like a long-term process. That's the thing that people don't understand. It's not a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're fixing you. You're fixing your personality. You're fixing who you are and who you have been for the past 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years.
Right.
So you're teaching yourself a new skill. You know, if you're a doctor now, you went to school. You went to, you know, college. You went for pre-med. You did a lot of training to be able to absorb this information and
yeah.
then have it on complete recall for you. It's not
exactly.
It's not something that you can learn in a boot camp or in, you know, 1 week of information. It's something
yeah.
that you actually have to work on and practice and be involved in, exactly what I said before, by being active and activating your social life. It's a whole new skill that you're learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's new skill set. Sometimes it's just a matter of tweaking and really relearning how to present yourself, not even so much changing. I think a lot of guys are probably scared of the changing of their identity, and that's really not necessarily what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is a lot of the skills you've learned to present that identity have to be retooled and kind of reformatted for better attractiveness to women.
Everybody has that friend. That one single friend that, you know, maybe your listeners are probably that single friend where you're like, oh, he's so wonderful. Why don't women see this? It's because they don't get to see this character that's in front of you.
Yeah.
Because they don't get the chance to, because your friend doesn't know how to present himself properly in the first interaction.
And then gets
so
eliminated, yeah.
Basically, all of these tools that you're providing men, that I'm providing men, that other programs are providing men, it just helps women out there get to see that amazing character that you're seeing. So I'm not preaching changing, because I think if you start changing who you are, then that's not really who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's going to come across too. So women can smell fakes, women can smell liars, women can smell pickup lines. You want to be as honest and true to yourself as possible, but again, with a few minor tweaks.
Yeah, just a little bit of adjustment here and there, guys. You can get your game back on track. Well, thanks, Marnie. I appreciate having you on the show.
Oh,
and again,
thank you.
And again, guys, you can go to carloslakes.com for a little bit more information on the Wing Girl Method and what the service that Marnie's providing for guys, which is truly unique and very, very necessary in today's dating environment. And I guess we'll talk to you again soon, Marnie. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
And as they used to say in those halcyon days of my youth, it starts to sound a little bit like a broken record. Does anybody know what a broken record is anymore? Anyway, it's just sounding like we say the same thing over and over again, but we have to get that sort of message through this collective skull of men today. Women just want you to be a man. Whoa, wait a minute. At the onset, I thought I said that wasn't enough. That's not clear enough. Well, hopefully through the course of what Marnie explained here, you understand a little bit more about that essence of that feeling. What is it a woman's looking for when she says she's just looking for a man or a guy that actually makes her feel safe being a woman? That's what she wants. She ultimately, in the end, deep down in the gut, just wants that one thing. She wants to feel like a woman. And the only way she can do that is if you provide the strength. That's one of the key ingredients. The confidence, another key ingredient. And the direction, the fun direction that she can travel in with you to feel like she's a part of something bigger. And that's probably one of the most important ingredients in this whole recipe of being an alpha man. And hey, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to pave the way, to kind of show you that hidden little path through the woods of dating to the goal that you want to get to. Every man wants more success with women. And I know you're no different. That's why you're here. That's why you're here every week, to gain a little glimmer of what it is that these women are really looking for. And to explain a little bit more of that alpha lifestyle and the whole alpha manhood concept through the method of keen insight and analytical breakdown, yes, it's time for this week's
Alpha Question.
My question is about interracial dating. Now we've got an election coming up, and race is playing a big part or being discussed a lot more. I'm a person who's having trouble trying to meet, or I'm actually trying to date certain women, but a lot of them in Southern California tend to stick to their own groups, whether it be religious or, you know, ethnicity, that kind of thing. So I'd like to know more about interracial dating, like how to find out or if there's any, like, signs or signals that you can pick up on to tell if a woman's really into interracial dating or not. It's something that hasn't really been discussed on any of the podcasts, I don't think. So if you could touch on some of that, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for all your podcasts and everything that you do, and have a great one.
Interracial dating. Ooh, now we're talking. Thanks for the question, my man. This is one that I'm sure a lot of guys do want to know a little bit more about, because guys are interested. We want to try out the latest flavor, don't we? We want to have a little bit of experience, a little variety in our basket as we plumb through the aisles of sexual Kmart. okay, maybe I went a little too far with that one, but you get what I mean, don't you? We do want to just have that kind of experience to know what kind of woman you can stay with for the long term. You've got to be, well, willing to go up to the dating buffet and maybe try out a few different plates of this and that. Sometimes you got to throw it out, but, you know, some of it you might want to keep. And all of it contributes to the collective knowledge that's going to make you a more powerful alpha man in the future. You're going to have that understanding that makes better decisions. And that's really where it all comes from. You don't gain knowledge as power. Knowledge itself is not power. I don't care what they told you in high school. I don't care what they told you in college. I don't care what your undergrad, postgrad, grad, PhD. You know what PhD stands for, don't you? Piled higher and deeper. And you know what they're piling, don't you? I don't care what your teachers taught you. Knowledge is not power. I'll show you 1,000 guys that can ace an IQ test, but they aren't.